Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score, and we are back with a bang today. Dane Brugler, the Athletic, is going to be joining us in a minute here. We're going to get all his thoughts on this year's draft class, including how many quarterbacks he thinks are going to go early, some skill position sleepers, and a bold prediction for the first round. But before we get him in here, I did one final sweep through my Dynasty rookie rankings this week, and that was after I already published new versions of my Dynasty trade value charts and my redraft rankings last week. Those are all up to date with the draft just 1 week away here, and we'll have a few episodes between now and then to get you ready, starting with today's show. So let's get our guest in here, making, I believe, his third appearance on the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. Arguably the top NFL draft analyst in the industry, Mr. Dane Brugler from The Athletic. And if you haven't checked out The Beast, which is his incredible draft preview, I can't recommend it enough. And you can see everything that he has going on. Give him a follow over on Twitter at DP Brugler. So Dane, welcome back to the show, man. How you been?
Good, Justin. I appreciate having me back. It's a fun time. We're a week away from the draft. So, you know, things are all the buzz flying around is kind of crazy, and we're trying to weed through it all, figure out what makes sense, what doesn't. So it'll be a fun final week up until draft night.
That's the thing, right? Like the last week or two, there's always a ton of reports coming out, and we just don't know which reports could be legitimate, which ones might be leaked for a specific reason, right? Maybe teams or agents are trying to manipulate the process a little bit. So I'm curious, let's start off with this. You spend all year long talking to people around the NFL and the college game. What's something concrete that you've heard from a lot of scouts or a lot of people in the know this year? And as usual, we're going to focus on offensive players since they're the most fantasy relevant, of course. But is there an observation about maybe a skill position player that you heard over and over from your sources, something that made you feel very confident that it's true?
I think it's as simple as Marvin Harrison Jr. matching the hype. You know, a lot of times these receivers who they get tabbed early in their careers as, future first round or future high pick. Sometimes the hype, it's easy for it to get out of control. With Marvin Harrison Jr., it was out of control pretty quickly, a sophomore year, when it became clear that, okay, this guy is a big-time player, and the hype kind of ran away with it. But even with that being the case, it's hard not to sound hyperbolic with him because he does so many things at a high level. But even with all those all the praise, all the hype, he matches it on film, and a lot of scouts agree with that. Is he perfect? No. I mean, I think that there's some areas of his game that you wish maybe were a little bit better. But the most common observation was just that Harrison is for real, and that was a unanimous thing among scouts.
When we look at the top of the draft, though, before we're probably going to hear Harrison's name called, we're going to see some of these quarterbacks get drafted, and Caleb Williams all but guaranteed to go number one. Seems like that's been the case for a while. So then we look to Washington with the second pick, and there's been, it seems like, a growing sentiment that Jaden Daniels is going to be that guy. I don't know if we can lock that one in yet, though, since Washington, they had a bunch of the top QBs in for visits this week. They had Daniels and Drake May and J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. They were all visiting the team. And we've seen some GMs change their minds late in the process before, but I want to know from you, you actually have Drake May one spot ahead of Daniels in your ranking. So what is it that gives May that slight edge for you? And if everything goes right for May and for Daniels in the pros, who do you think has the higher ceiling ultimately?
I do believe May has the higher ceiling. If I'm going to go shopping for a quarterback, Drake May has all the things that I want. He's a good sized athlete. And he plays with athletic instincts. The second reaction plays are outstanding. He gets dinged because of some of the accuracy stuff, but he's not inaccurate. He just needs to be a little more consistent with some of the ball placement things. And I think he can do that. Especially early, simple slants, his arm can get juiced up a little bit and he'll miss slightly. But with repetition and let's remember, Jaden Daniels is 2 years older than Drake May. If we're drafting Jaden Daniels after his third year in college football, we're talking about him as a sixth or seventh round pick. He's not going very early because of what he did in his first 3 years in college. And with Drake May, I think there's more there in terms of creating explosive plays down the field, in terms of avoiding pressure and creating with his legs when he needs to. I like Jaden Daniels. I do. I think he, especially with what he put on film this past year, down the field especially, he's very accurate. Throws of 20 plus yards this year. He was 67% completions, 22-0 touchdown interception ratio. And, you know, it's funny because so much of this matters about where you end up. If Jaden Daniels goes 2 to the Commanders and Drake May goes 3 to the Patriots, there's a chance that, likely chance maybe that Jaden Daniels ends up being the better quarterback, because I think he's going to a situation with better talent where they're going to be able to, put him in position to succeed, where like the Patriots right now, it's that roster is not a very talented roster, especially on offense.
Yeah.
And when you don't have an established offensive line or established playmakers, it's going to be tough for a rookie quarterback. So, you know, even if Jacoby Brissett starts early in his career, but I want Drake May on the field because I want him learning and getting better. Same thing we saw, you know, we had this conversation last year with Anthony Richardson. Yeah, he was very inexperienced, but you want him on the field making those mistakes so he understands what to do, how to get better. And that's not always easy. So where these guys end up is a big variable in the recipe for success. But if I have to bet on one of these quarterbacks after Caleb Williams, it's going to be Drake May.
And I'm going to spoil the top of your latest mock for a second here. You had four QBs going off the board with the first four picks: Williams, Daniels, May, and JJ McCarthy. The question, though, is whether one of these desperate teams like the Vikings or the Broncos or the Raiders, are they going to make a move here to get either Michael Penix Jr. or to get Bo Nix in that first round? And I know you gave Penix and Nix second to third round grades in your draft guide, but we're hearing a lot of rumors about them going higher than that right now. And going back to what I said off the top, right? Could that just be their agents putting in a lot of work? Maybe. Or these teams could really be looking to grab them. And clearly, you feel like it's a possibility that they could go earlier. You had Penix sneaking into round one in your mock draft. So how do you feel about them potentially being the answer for one of these QB needy teams? And what are the chances that we see one or both of Penix and Nix go in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, let's remember at this time last year, Hendon Hooker was popping up in the top 10 of mock drafts.
And exactly.
Yeah, he fell to the third round. So, and I say fell as if, you know, that's where he was projected, but because some people said he was a first round pick, it seems like he fell. But you know, there's no consensus. That's the thing. Like, every team looks at these quarterbacks differently. There's no consensus board that every team is working off of. Some teams really like Bo Nix or Michael Penix. Other teams are out. They don't see it, and I get it. To me, if you're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, that's because you believe that quarterback will be a top 12 to 14 quarterback in the NFL. If you don't believe that, then why are you drafting a first round pick? So if you're if you believe Michael Penix or Bo Nix will be a top 12 to 14 quarterback in the NFL, by all means, take your shot and see if it happens. I can't get there with those two quarterbacks. I think they can start in the NFL. I think there's, you know, plenty of things to like about them, but to project them as being that level of quarterback where they're going to help me win the division, go to the playoffs, be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL, I personally cannot get there with those two guys. So for me, they are more round two, round three guys. But I can understand, especially for, you know, quarterback desperation is a real thing. And if you really like one of these quarterbacks, I can understand why you would want to take a chance. I just think it's a lower percentage chance. So if we see the Raiders in my mock draft, I had the Raiders trading back up in round one to get Michael Penix. Bo Nix, if he ends up sneaking in there too, it wouldn't be totally shocking. But I think it's more, I think their draft grade is more round two, round three. And if a team drops him round one, it's a little bit of a reach at that point.
I agree with you. I've had both those guys a little lower in my dynasty rookie rankings, but I know for sure if one of them sneaks into the first round, I'm going to have to move them up because the value, people are going to go crazy for them. And I mean, super flex two quarterback leagues, I know you're not a huge fantasy guy, but there's a lot of added interest on the quarterbacks now because those are becoming more popular. That's why, you know, the quarterbacks are always a hot topic. But from a fantasy lens and from a real life perspective, I mean, the heart of this draft class might be the receivers. You have a ton of high end talent. One of the guys you already mentioned, Marvin Harrison, you know, a very deep class too. And I won't make you go over the big three in Harrison and Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze, all very strong prospects. But after those guys, which wideout are you most excited about in this class? There's been people kind of, you know, propping up quite a few guys in that spot. Who is it for you?
Well, if I'm going to stay true to my rankings, I need to say Brian Thomas Jr., who led the FBS in touchdown catches this past year with 17. A good size athlete. He's 6'3", 210 pounds, basketball background. Outstanding speed, especially when the ball's in the air. He has those GGI skills, go and get it skills. He is a gliding athlete, better route runner than I think he gets credit for. He was asked to run so many goes and slants, and it just wasn't asked to run this expansive route tree, but he has the athleticism to do it. I think when he was asked to do some different things, he did it pretty well. So with Brian Thomas Jr., he's one of the few guys after the top three that can be a legitimate X in the NFL. And so I think we're going to see, as long as the medicals check out, and that, it's always a big if, as long as the medicals check out, I think he will be off the board somewhere in the teens and be a guy that can be a playmaker. Whether that turns into a T. Higgins or someone like that, I think he has it in him to do it. Maybe it might not be immediate. It might, be at some point in next, year or two, but he has it in him. So I think it's easy to be excited about him. Ladd McConkey, I'm a big fan of his as well. The short area quickness, the ability to separate. You just have to get past the size. He's not a big player. He's got some durability things from the past, but he's just a tough player to cover one-on-one, plain and simple. And when it boils down to it, I want my receivers to be able to get open, catch the ball, and make something happen after the catch. He does all three of those things at a very high level, and I do think he has inside-outside versatility. So as long as you're okay with the size, Ladd McConkey, in my opinion, shouldn't get out of the first round.
What if we dig a little deeper? What if we look for a sleeper or two here? And not every late-round receiver is going to be Puka Nacua, so people have to keep their expectations in check. But is there a name that we're going to hear called maybe late day two or into day three, somebody that stands out to you, a favorite wideout of yours who's likely to be drafted, let's say, round three or later?
Malik Washington from Virginia, I think, falls in that category for me. Every year somebody gets the Steve Smith comparison, and they're always ridiculous. But if we have to do it this year, I would give it to Malik Washington with just, the play style. He's smaller, obviously. He's, 5'8 and a half, 190 pounds. But he has speed. He has after the catch ability. He has the body control and ball tracking skills to make exceptional catches down the field. Teams that really prioritize production will love what he did this past year. He was among the nation's leader in catches and receiving yards. And he never dropped the ball. That was a thing. Rarely. You watch his tape over and over, and you will go games without seeing a drop on his film. And so, even though he is a smaller target, he has a smaller wingspan, but he has a larger catch radius than you would expect because of that body control and the ability to stab the ball outside of his frame. But I really encouraged by the fact that just the ball rarely touches the ground when he's targeted. So easy player to like, explosive, rugged, tough, more of a slot receiver. But I think that he's the type of guy that can make an immediate impact in the NFL.
Definitely a name to keep in mind. I know hitting on a receiver in the later rounds isn't easy in fantasy, isn't easy in real life, but the depth of this class, maybe that increases the odds a little bit that we'll see somebody find some value there this year. Normally, I'm always encouraging fantasy managers to stash running backs that go later in the draft. I think we've seen plenty of those guys hit from deeper. Sometimes it's the landing spot that helps. Sometimes it's just that the talent's undeniable. With a week to go here, I'm wondering, I know a lot of people are down in this running back class. Is there somebody in the mid to late rounds for running backs that you have as a sleeper?
Yeah, and that's such a key point that you make. I might say, whoever the Cowboys draft, that's the guy that I want to bet on because, they have more of a need there. And that whichever running back the Cowboys draft, he's going to get plenty of touches. Without knowing where these guys end up, Tyrone Tracy from Purdue has been one of my guys. And, it was funny. I was talking to a scout about it, kind of, frustrated that he tested as well as he did at the combine. Cause it's like, okay, well, this guy's not much of a sleeper anymore. Former wide receiver, 5'11", 210 pounds, 4'4" athlete, 40-inch vert, really good athlete, but he's someone that has, you know, not, maybe not a featured back, but you add him to the rotation where, especially catching the ball at the backfield, that's where he's going to really shine. The comparison I make is that high energy sixth man in basketball where he can swing a game when he catches fire, the type of weapon that is, you know, not going to be your A, but as a reserve, as a part-time player, he can help rip off some explosive plays, you know, one a game, two a game, because he is so explosive. And, you know, what he can do catching the ball in the backfield is a big part of what he does. He can also help in the return game, which is a more of a factor now with the kick returns. He had a 98-yarder for a touchdown this past year. So the versatility of how he affects the game as a rusher, receiver, and return man, I think really puts a lot of value with Tyrone Tracy.
And fantasy-wise, we don't see as many of these workhorse backs anymore. There's only a handful of them. So if you can find one of these guys that's getting, you know, 10, 12 touches, but they are that explosive, it can be really valuable for fantasy. So a couple more before we get you out of here, Dane. As far as tight ends go, I mean, Brock Bowers, he's going to be drafted in the top half of the first round. Lots of people focused on him. We've seen rookie tight ends come in and kind of break that trend that there was for a while where guys were taking multiple years before they really made an impact in the pros. So not as much of a concern around them in year one as there used to be. Not every tight end is going to come in and produce. But after Bowers, who would you say is the most pro-ready tight end in this class? Who could be that guy that steps in and earns snaps and does produce in year one?
I think Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. I think he's one of those guys that should find some success early because he's a high IQ player. Like, he's really smart. Maybe not an ideal fit for every scheme. You know, he's 6'4", 250. You know, okay size, but his value to me is more of a versatile H-back where, yeah, he can line up in line, but you want him as a lead back. You want him in the backfield. You want him in the slot. You want to use him in a lot of different ways to really maximize his value. And I think it does speak to his athleticism that he's capable of doing that, where it's not just he has to be this specific role. He does have, you know, not only the talent and ability, but also the you know, the instincts to play across the line of scrimmage. But, you know, he's a good size athlete, fluid. He's got speed, accelerates well, catches the ball well, and he's tough. I mean, he is a really competitive finisher and the type of guy that he embraces contact. He's not going to run from it. So Ben Sinnott would definitely be on that short list. Jared Wiley from TCU, another one. Theo Johnson, Penn State. You know, both those guys are probably come off the board somewhere in the third round. They have size and they have speed, and those guys, they find a way to get on the field and produce. So, you know, both of them are 6'6", 250. Theo Johnson is actually 260, but they're both, you know, 4'5" athletes, 4'6" athletes, guys that can stretch a seam, get open, and make something happen. So I think both those guys we'll hear from pretty earlier in their careers.
All right, before we wrap up, I got to do it to you, Dane. Give us a bold prediction for the first round. All that research, all that time spent thinking about the draft all year long. What's something that's going to surprise people in round one?
You know, it's tough because I'll say this. I think we set the record for most offensive players drafted. I don't know if that's bold or not, but in my mock draft, I had 21 offensive players drafted, 11 on defense. We've never seen 20 offensive players drafted in the first round. So this year we set the record. Another record we might set is we've never seen offensive players go 1 through 8. There's a decent chance that happens this year. A very good chance it happens 1 through 7. And then just a matter of what happens at 8. Falcons likely to take defense, but if they trade out of that spot, say the Colts come up to get a receiver and they go up to 8, it would be the first time ever in the history, you know, 57 NFL drafts in the Super Bowl era, this would be the first time we see an all offense 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And who knows, after that, it could go to 10 if the Bears take offense, if the Jets take offense. So it's going to be a very offensive heavy first round.
I do a live article during the draft with like live analysis and stat projections and everything for the offensive players. So that will keep me very busy in that top 10 picks if that's how it ends up working out. But there you have it. That is all for today's show. Make sure you're following Dane on Twitter at DP Brugler. Check out his draft guide, The Beast. Check out all the work that he's doing over at The Athletic. And Dane, I always appreciate you jumping on with us. I mean, the amount of work, the amount of detail that you put into those prospect profiles is amazing. So thank you for that. Thank you for spending some time with us today. And good luck getting through the next stretch here, buddy, before you can finally catch your breath a little bit.
Thanks, man. Anytime. I appreciate that.
As for me, I'll be back next week with a couple more episodes before the draft. But until then, big thanks again to Dane. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight.